The passage for the sermon this morning is going to be the one that Nick read for us from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. I invite us to listen now for God's word as it comes in today's gospel from Luke 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance, and they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. This message that comes from God to the people of Judah, Israel, Judah, it's really the southern kingdom, so it was at that time called Judah, comes in about 597 BC. It's one of those passages of scripture that I think is so different, and it's so far from our usual instincts, and so far from how we generally learn to live our lives, that it's hard to get our minds around it and understand what God's message really is, especially to us in a passage like this. What we heard here just, it simply contradicts our impulses. It contradicts the attitudes that we learn to live by. But if that's true of us, it was also true of the very people that Jeremiah was coming to there in Babylon. I want to quote a passage out of Jeremiah, a short one verse from Isaiah 30:15, because these words express what God so often wants from us as his people, and they are prayerful words. These are the words in Isaiah: "In returning or in repentance, in returning or in repentance is your rest, or you will be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. In returning and repentance and in rest you will be saved. And in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." And then he says to his people, "But you refuse." Now back to the passage in Jeremiah this morning. The prophet Jeremiah has sent a letter from Jerusalem by an emissary to this first wave of deportees that have been sent from Jerusalem into Babylon. They're political prisoners. They're the leadership. They're the elite of Israel, of Judah. Now, going back for a second to those words in Isaiah 30:15, these deportees, these Judites who are in Babylon at the time, want to return home. They want by now in some way to repent and to have the Lord somehow deliver them back home and to start their lives again, to recover the life they had. In returning and in rest, you will be saved. But now, remarkably, Jeremiah comes to this with this amazing and this unexpected and really this shattering message from the Lord. And the message says, stay put. Settle in for the long haul. Restart your lives right there in Babylon. In exile. Not go back home. Not go back to everything that's familiar. But stay there. Hear the words one more time that Nick read for us this morning. This is God's message through Jeremiah. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom," and notice these words, "whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease." And then these remarkable words, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your own welfare. Here at this ignominious point in their history, where Judah's storied history and their imagined golden days have suddenly and ruthlessly been thrust completely into the past, that's where they are. They feel like the past is gone. The future is uncertain at best. It appears to be dark and depressing and full of anxiety. And what they have to live with are the hard realities of the present moment. And that's all they have. And amazingly, right there, the word of the Lord comes to them through Jeremiah and says, stay put, live in the present, settle down, settle in. And then he says, even grow and thrive there in Babylon. I want to come back to this in a second more seriously, but I want to come at it with a little humor for a second. The speaker at my sister Beverly's commencement, college commencement back in 1977 at St. Andrew's College in North Carolina was the then well-known humor columnist Art Buchwald. I think probably some of you remember him. Buchwald's daughter was graduating also in Bev's class. In that same spring, Buchwald had delivered the commencement address at the Catholic University Law School in Washington, D.C. And in that address at Catholic, Buchwald said this. He said, we seem to be going through a period of nostalgia, and everyone seems to think that yesterday was way better than today. And he said, I personally don't think it was, and I want to advise you not to wait 10 years from now before you admit that today was great. And he said, and if you're hung up on nostalgia, pretend that today is yesterday, and just go out and have one hell of a time. I bet if I stopped in the sermon for a few minutes right now, and we sort of went into an impromptu time of talking about our present environment, about our times, about the mood today, the morality that a lot of us believe that we see and feel right now, we'd come up with a lot of words, but I think we would quickly come up with words, descriptions like exile, like estrangement, maybe desperation, vacuousness, fear. We could find a lot more words. My point is that we understand in some way, we know in some way, living and experiencing certain kinds of exile too. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but we have exiles in our lives, and I want to say something about that as I go through the sermon. Now, that's why this ancient text in Jeremiah, as ancient as it is, as foreign as it is to our own religious and political and social life, it still speaks to us. It still speaks a word of God to us and into our lives. We have the luxury of being able to fall just into nostalgia at times. But for the people of Israel, in this text, the loss of their past was devastating beyond anything they could comprehend. It was beyond anything that they'd experienced yet. If you remember, you recall, for those people, their whole faith and their whole identity, their whole understanding of themselves as a people, had been based on God's promises that Jerusalem, the holy city Zion, would last forever. The temple in Jerusalem would never fall. They'd had God's assurance of that. They'd had God's assurance that he specially and specifically, as the words say, dwelt with them in Jerusalem and in the temple. His presence was unique with them. So he would always protect them. They'd never fall. And now they've fallen. Those promises are expressed in a lot of places in the Old Testament. They're expressed beautifully and clearly in a few words I want to read from Psalm 122. Psalm 122 says, Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones of judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. And then these words, very similar to Jeremiah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And now that promise, those promises seem like a glorious past that's been lost. And the future looks empty. And the same Lord who said in Psalm 122, pray for Jerusalem, says now to Judah in Babylon, seek the welfare of that city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Build houses, plant gardens, marry, have children, settle in, go on with life. In other words, do all the things that make life thrive. It would have been unthinkable to these people that up to now had had those promises of God, that now in exile, God would say they have to accept it. And not only accept it, but to stay there for a while, for a season, as we might say. Now, as I thought about that, I wondered if it's not equally unthinkable for us to think that we have to stay and accept exile, whatever it is in our lives, whatever we describe as exile. When we think of some kind of situation in our lives, personal or community or national or international, when we think of ourselves as being in an exile, there are times that we feel deep within us an estrangement of some sort, uncertainty, anxiety. Sometimes we feel a loss or at least a slipping away of what's been most familiar and most comforting to us and most secure for us. Or maybe right now, and literally today, we seem to hear and to see and to sense around us a terrible mood, anger, hostility, fear, violence, not only violence, physical violence, but violent, vulgar words. In ways that we can't always articulate, we do feel sometimes like it's just not like it used to be. It didn't used to be this way. But we don't want to be guilty either of just falling into nostalgia or to naively glorifying the past. So I want to move to the other message that I hear in this passage. There has to be more of a word from God to us. And there is more of a message to us from God in this passage than just to settle in and stay in exile. Now, to the people of Israel, God's word came through Jeremiah and said to them that they were indeed being punished for their sins. They were indeed going to have to endure punishment for a time. But in this amazing message, he says, nevertheless, even there, God says, I'm still with you. They were in exile, but God had not abandoned them there. They could grow. They could find new strength. They could find greater strength. They had time to learn more deeply God's teachings and to grow in their faith. And they could even find new and different and yet unexpected ways to be faithful to themselves. And not only to be faithful themselves, but even faithful to the enemy, to Babylon. Pray for their good. That message still can be, and it still surely will be, God's word for us at some times in our lives. Exile is not all there is, even when we're in exile. Exile is not complete hopelessness. Exile is not the end. Even when we're in some kind of exile, God gives us more life yet. God gives us new kinds of hope yet. We can have new kinds of strength given to us by God and experience new ways that God cares for us in ways that maybe we haven't ever experienced before. We have God's complete assurance, God's complete promises of those things. One of my Old Testament professors, Patrick Miller, wrote in a commentary on this passage, he wrote these words in 2001. He says that in our times, Jeremiah's words challenge even us as a nation and a church to think about God's judgment and our survival in our time. And he says exile might turn out to be our lot. But if it does, at least we know that there was a time when God's people were sent into exile and they were called to live there and to find their well-being by carrying on their lives in a foreign place. I want to close with this. One of the most familiar psalms that we have in the scripture, Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I go into Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me secure. And even if I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light for you. And for us as Christians, the ultimate word, the greatest word, when we're experiencing some kind of exile in our lives, this is God's sure and certain promise to us, that his love is more powerful than any darkness or any exile that we'll ever go through. Very simple. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Amen.